the most dangerous reading in the entire lectionary. The most dangerous reading in the entire lectionary. That's how one commentary describes today's lesson from 1 Peter. We're placed in quite a quandary. The framers of the lectionary have us begin this reading at verse 19. But here's what we did not hear this morning, verse 18. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. Well, you can see why we didn't open with that. No one's going to want to preach a sermon about how a good slave should behave. So the lectionary eliminates that opening verse from the reading. But what do we do with what we have left? Without the opening verse directed to slaves, it sounds like the church is defaulting to the position that everyone should endure every pain, every suffering, and every beating. And to the extent that the church has done so, and it has done so, the church has been in grave error. The misuse of this scripture has resulted in untold instances of spousal abuse and even child abuse. There have been studies after studies after studies performed where in one interview after another, both the victims of abuse and the abusers themselves refer to this scripture. Abusers will quote the Bible as justification that they have the right to use physical force on other people, which they must accept. And victims will also quote the Bible as their reason for being silent and accept whatever suffering or beating comes their way. If they can't quote the scripture exactly, the victims will simply say, "The Bible says I'm supposed to be obedient." After all, the victims will say, "Jesus suffered, and that's my example." That way of thinking is, to my mind, nonsense. The classical Greco-Roman world had its own culture and understanding of human nature. We look back at some of that culture and see that it was good and inspiring and beautiful. And we look back at much of that same culture and see that it was deeply flawed and even cruel. For example, we read the stories of Herod the Great assassinating most of his own children. We don't take that as an example for the orderly transition of the leadership of a government. In civilization as we know it in the West, we do not stone people who commit adultery, and we do not cut off the hands of people who steal. And if that's the case, then neither should we give a great deal of attention to a household code of ethics in 1 Peter that instructs slaves how to behave when they're beaten. That would be bad enough if we used it for slaves. How much more horrible that we have allowed this same ethics of conduct from 1 Peter to have been interpreted in such a way that abusers can manipulate their spouse, their partner, or a child to suffer in silence. The Word of God, as we know it in the Bible, does not contain advice for victims of abuse who live with men or women who beat them. And the Word of God that we know contained in the Bible does not grant a license to people who abuse their spouse or a child. Today's reading from the Gospel of John does give us an example, that of Jesus as the shepherd. If Jesus is the shepherd in this metaphor, then by extension we have to understand that we are the sheep. And that's not really much of a compliment. You might have this image in your minds of little Bo Peep, surrounded by several small, playful, cute, cuddly an incredibly clean white sheep. But that's not really the way that sheep are, if you've ever met one. First of all, their fleece is like a magnet. It picks up every bit of dust, dirt, hay, straw, or twig which comes in contact. Secondly, sheep aren't very smart. When Isaiah wrote his poetry about how we humans have all gone astray like sheep, he picked a good example. You can bet that without a shepherd, or at least a really good dog, that is exactly where sheep will go, astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And sometimes there are parts of us that are also like magnets. Our personalities can pick up every stray bit of bad attitude, self-righteousness, and selfishness with which it comes in contact. We are like sheep. Sometimes we're not very smart. We can lose our way in a minute. We need a shepherd, someone who knows our name and someone whose voice we can recognize. And that's what Scripture tells us about Jesus. The shepherd who can lead us to those paths and open those gates that are best for us. The shepherd who can lead us away from those paths that are dangerous for us. The shepherd who knows us by our names, and the shepherd whose voice we recognize. And perhaps most importantly, the shepherd who will work with us, each one of us, one by one, to clean and to groom our messy fleece. Just like a shepherd in the field who will work to untangle the knots and remove the briars and just generally clean up his flock, Jesus will work with each one of us to untangle the knots that we can find in our lives, to remove the selfishness and the pettiness that can accumulate in our souls and in our spirits. Don't let that reading from 1 Peter ever convince you that you or anyone else should suffer abuse in silence. That is not faithfulness. That is not holiness, and that is not what it means to follow Jesus. If anyone ever confides in you that they are being harmed physically or emotionally or spiritually, because they believe that Jesus suffered, so should I. Tell them that's a lie, dressed up in religious language. It's a lie that destroys lives. Help them, walk with them, get them to safety if you can. That is holy, holy work. Because the shepherd that we follow is not one who drives the flock into harm. The shepherd we follow leads us away from it. Jesus says that he knows his sheep by name. That means that he knows our stories. He knows our wounds. He knows when we've been hurt and where we are still hurting. And the voice of that shepherd is not a voice that commands us to endure cruelty. It's a voice that instead calls us out of danger, out of fear, out of silence. I come that they may have life, Jesus says, and have it abundantly. Abundant life is not a life of quiet suffering under someone else's violence. Abundant life is not a life of quiet suffering. It's not a life of fear. It's not a life of domination or of silence. Abundant life is safety. It's dignity. It is the steady, patient work of healing. It is the slow untangling of all that has bound us up. It is the shepherd kneeling beside us again and again gently removing the briars and the thorns. So the question before us is this: whose voice will we listen to? The voice that shames and silences and quotes 1 Peter? Or the voice that calls us by name and leads us into life? Listen for the shepherd. Listen for his voice. And when you hear it calling you or calling someone else out of harm, have the courage to follow where it leads. Because that voice will always lead toward abundant life.